Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, live from Chicago. George Wilder Jr. Show. Keep it right here. It should be fun.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. Let's get this audio. Can we get it together? All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show. This show, if you're listening now, it is live. It's not podcasted yet. But thanks for tuning into the show, and thanks for all your accolades of the show. I just have to keep saying those things because I get them all the time from certain people. And it's really refreshing. It keeps this show going. It keeps me going, and it keeps me wanting to do what I love doing. And I love doing this show, and thank you so much. All right. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY, broadcasting live out of Chicago. I just feel giddy, folks, for some reason. We're expecting bad weather. There's bad weather almost everywhere around here. Tornadoes off the chart. And in Chicago here, it's still gray. It's cold. Well, it's not as cold, but it's gray. And everybody is wondering, where the hell is spring? And I'm thinking that, too, because now, actually, people are saying, where the hell is summer? It seems as though we haven't had a spring around here. And I do know in some parts of the country, there's tornadoes, twisters, and hurricanes just uprooting people. A lot of people have become homeless over this, and we got to keep it in our, keep them in our thoughts, because a lot of people are struggling. Okay, there's a tornado outbreak, and for states like Kansas, Kentucky, Illinois, Oklahoma, they're talking about a tornado. In Illinois, the state where I live, the state where I reside, and that I'm going to tell you, folks, that's scary because we've seen some of the damage that has been caused by tornadoes, twisters in Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Kansas, and some of those other surrounding states. And so this is serious. This is serious, and I want to say, hey, my heart goes out to those folks who have lost everything because of a twister, who have become homeless because of a twister, and they need our help. So let's help those folks who need help, because you never know when you might need help, and you're going to be looking around for somebody to help you. So you have a chance to help someone else. Do it. All right, you're listening to the – oh, wait a minute. There's 9 twisters that has been reported. That's a lot of damage that's been done to homes. So I want to say again, a lot of those folks out there, they've become homeless. And they don't have any food, no home, no nothing. It's our job to help them. So the shoe could be put on the other foot. So let's give those folks a prayer or two and try to help them any way we can. If we can't help them monetarily, we can help them with our time. Sometimes it only takes your time and effort. It doesn't take money all the time to help someone out. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. Follow me on Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place, as I always say. My guest today is Nicole Walther, okay? I'm looking at a photograph, but I I'm pretty sure she'll be in on the show later on. So stick around for that. That should be fun. Yesterday, I mean, I had a clip of this 91-year-old Fosse Lewis, and she's just amazing. I mean, you just look at her during the video. You look at her, and you're saying that she's a model for the rest of us. You know, 91, and she's – I mean, she's her body has probably broken down a little bit, but her mind – is just as fresh and clear and just as she's just as concise as ever, you know, because I believe she was some sort of a teacher, and she sounds like it. I mean, she's a great, I hope you had a chance to listen to that clip and to try to make it, it's a little dull, but I think if you were there, you probably heard and understood what she was trying to say. Basically, she was saying, don't let old age tie you down. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders, for instance. Look at Bernie Sanders, 75 years old, and he's not ready to give up yet running for president. 75. I mean, if that isn't marvelous, and that if that doesn't tell you something, do not let old age hold you back, then you have your head on the rock. Bernie Sanders, he jumps off planes, go from one state to the next, goes from one city to the next, from one rally to the next rally, all over the place, 1,000 media people following him, 1,000 cameras in his face. Do not let old age hinder you in any way. Just look at these people. Flossie Lewis, 91, still going strong, and she's a motivator for other seniors, still going strong. Bernie Sanders, people have told him to drop out of the race. There's no chance in hell you can win, but he's still there. And you know what? Some of the states that are coming up, he's leading in. But Hillary Clinton's got her focus on Donald Trump, but she's going to have to refocus back on She's going to have to refocus back on Bernie Sanders because Bernie Sanders is moving on up. But still, from what I'm hearing, they're saying Bernie Sanders can win every state there is from now to November, and he still would not have enough delegates to beat Hillary Clinton, which is something I'm still trying to, you know, wrestle with, However, Bernie Sanders is saying that he is in the game until the end. The guy is in the game until the end because a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters, they are dead fast on not supporting Hillary Clinton. It's just something about Hillary Clinton that people do not like. You've got some people saying they're going to vote for Donald Trump then supporters of Hillary Bernie Sanders saying they're going to vote for Donald Trump. If Bernie drops out, they're just not going to give their support to Hillary. I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. However, I mean, if he can't, if the math doesn't work for Bernie should know that more than anybody else, and he should probably drop out. I don't want to see him drop out. I want to see a miracle, because that's what it's going to take for him to overcome Hillary Clinton in this presidential race for 2016. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Smart quiz question, who signs a bill to become law? That should be an easy question. It's a Constitution question. We should have the answer to that question later on. We might have it a lot sooner, a lot earlier. I think these smart quiz questions give the show some legitimacy, I believe. So you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we should have a great time on the show, folks. We're going to be talking more Donald Trump. I want to pass this on to a few people. It's just a little saying here, and it rings true in some instances. So I'm going to say this. All right, here we go. Sometimes the best way to get some people's attention is to stop giving yours. All right, that's the quote of today. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back. Stay with me, folks. It is so glad to be here. right, Facebook, you probably heard this. Facebook, they're accusing, some people are accusing Facebook on being a liberal website. Yeah, I mean, if Facebook is trying to defend itself to say it's not biased, you know. If Facebook is a liberal website, I don't see why Facebook has to bend over and kiss other people's ass because they feel that Facebook is a democratic website and Facebook is defending itself. Hey, wow, we give every trending news a story air, you know, so, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, because you've got 163 million people on Facebook. That's a hell of a lot of people. 163 million. It may be more, folks. Million. Or that is that million or billion? Does it really matter? And they're saying that Facebook is, I do think that more majority of the people on Facebook are liberals or progressives. And I'm also a Facebook user. I'm pretty sure a lot of the people who listen to this radio show are Facebook users. And I do know that Facebook, they do censor a lot of things you say. Facebook does not let, if you post a comment or if you post a book or whatever you or whatever product you're pushing, Facebook will let a few people see it. Everybody will not see it. Let's say if you got, you know, 3,000 friends or something, and you post, a lot of people post books and stories and stuff. Facebook is not going to let every one of your friends see that posting, even though you're the one who went out and drafted all those people to be your friend, or they drafted you. But Facebook said you can have as many friends as you want to until you get to the amount of 5,000. But if you have 100 friends or 4,000 friends, if you try to advertise, Facebook knows when you're advertising, and they're going to limit the amount of your friends that you've chosen, that have chosen you, who can see what you're advertising. I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. Facebook does it because it's a form of marketing. It's a form of publicity, and they want to get paid. So they're saying, we'll show this. We'll show your advertisement to 10 people. But if you want it to reach at least 2,000 to 3,000, you have to pay us. You know, so Facebook can be annoying because right now, as I'm in my studio looking at my computer and, you know, I'm looking at the board here, Facebook notifications are popping up all over my computer saying this person, that person has posted into your posted into your group. You know, but let me go back to saying if Facebook, in my opinion, if Facebook is biased against Republicans, they ought to be. You got some crazy Republicans. You got some Republicans that need to be in a psych ward. You know, some of these people are nuts. So if Facebook is liberal, then LinkedIn conservative, because LinkedIn has the members on LinkedIn, they're more conservative, just like I just got through saying, and they're more Republican and they're more professional. LinkedIn is a website for professional people. Facebook, Tom, Dick, and Harry can join, you know. So there is a difference there. So if Facebook is liberal, then LinkedIn is conservative. So it all evens itself out. But I do believe there's more people on Facebook than there are on LinkedIn. And I think it intertwines. I think if you're a member of Facebook, you're probably also a member of LinkedIn. And if you're a member of LinkedIn, you're also a member of Facebook. It goes that way. Nobody is really not that naive not to be on Facebook. I mean, just about everybody who has their face down into their phones, whether they're walking down the street in their cars, on the subway, you know, if you have your face down into your phone, more than likely you're on Facebook. You're on Facebook. I would say those people who do not have their, who are not on Facebook, they may be playing some sort of a game or something on their phone, but the majority of the people who, they're on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, more so than LinkedIn. And I don't see why Facebook has to defend itself against the Republicans, because they don't post or talk about Republicans as much. I must agree, Facebook is liberal, at least on my page. It is liberal because a lot of times when I, you know, log on to Facebook, I see all of this liberal posting, okay? Liberal postings. Most of the time, it's against Republicans. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and whatever's trending on Facebook, and a lot of times Republican rhetoric is trending, and Facebook will not post it. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Some of these Republicans are ridiculous. What can I say? What can I say? What can you say? You know. So, you know, I mean, Facebook is going to have to straighten up its act. I don't see why. The only thing I can see Facebook straighten up its act in is letting you post what you want to post. I mean, I see a lot of strange posts on Facebook. You know, people using bad language and getting away with it, pornographic, children porn, and, you know, sexual acts. I mean, I've got friends saying, George, all I do is just delete raunchous material. I said, I do the same thing. We just delete raunchous written material. And we wish Facebook would do a better job of that, of keeping porn off some of the websites or all the websites. That's what they should be focusing on. The weirdos. And that's a bunch of them. The weirdos. And you know what? You got some people on Facebook who never post, say anything. They never interact. They never, they don't participate in anything. They never click like or anything. They just sit there and watch what you do. You know, they sit there and read and watch what you do. And they act as if you don't know that they're there. And they appear as if you do not know what they're doing, which is nothing, but actually watching, listening, but not interacting with what other people are doing. And that pisses me off, like, because I want everybody, if you're my friend, I want you to interact with me or what I'm doing. That's what it's all about. It's not all about just sitting back watching what someone else is doing and you're not participating. I mean, you're not that's not being a friend. That's being somebody, that's a spectator. You're spectating. You're looking at, you're watching, you're looking and listening what other people are doing, and you're doing absolutely nothing, and you're on Facebook. But you got a lot of people like that. I know, I got some friends like that. And every now and then I'll get so many friends and I have to delete friends. So majority of the time I'll delete those who are not participating, who don't say anything, who don't do anything, they don't interact. They're just spectators, like at a ball game, just looking down at the ball game, but not doing anything, not being a part of the conversation, I guess is what I'm trying to say. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is author Nicole Walther, at least through emails, and a lot of commentary on this page. And things in the news, got to go things in the news. And anything you want to talk about, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the George Wilder Jr. Show. Call in guest line 347-857-1762. Just like, I mean, I have listened to talk shows myself for many, many years. I mean, for as many years as I can count, I have listened to talk shows. I've watched talk shows on television. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I've listened to a lot of talk shows, and I have never, ever called in to a talk show. Never have I ever called in to a talk show. I've listened to them because I find them interesting. I find them knowledgeable. I find that there's knowledge there that I can use, that I can implement, but I've never called in. You know, I may have called in, take that back, maybe, I mean, 10, 20, 30 years, I may have called in once, but technically I've never called in to talk to the host about anything. And I think there was one time I called in, but it was for like, I thought I was going to win $1,000 or something. So I called in, but I guess I wasn't the number three caller or something like that. But that was the only time I believe I called in to a radio talk show. It's not like I never wanted to. It's just like it just never happened. So I understand when there's people out there, they're listening to the show, but they will not pick up that phone and call in. But that's understandable because this show is always podcast. It's always recorded and downloaded. It will be here anytime you want to listen to it. And that's what I like about this show. You can listen anytime at your convenience. It doesn't have to be right now. You do not really have to call in, but it would be great if you could, but that's fine because I can handle it. The guests that I have on the show can handle it, but sometimes I get calls, you know, they come in, but you know, it's fun. It's really fun. And I totally enjoy it. Alrighty. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We're having a great time here, people, and we're going to have some interesting guests throughout the week. Okay, we got Nicole Wather today. Hopefully she'll call in around 6:30. Hope you hang around for that. She should have plenty to tell us. But yesterday's show, my guest on yesterday's show, she was like not a live guest, but it was a clip, and it was dynamite. And I'm always about trying this show, actually. It's always about wanting to make the world a better place. I mean, if you're on this earth, if you're doing something positive, you're here to try to make the world a better place. You know, and that's what this show is about. And I'm trying to make that my logo for this show as I go on and on. All right, let's move right along. Amazon is setting up a YouTube-like website where you can earn royalties. That is something, folks. Amazon, I mean, if you think about Amazon done already gotten rid of all the bookstores. There's no bookstores. I mean, you can't even walk into a bookstore and buy a book. You can blame Amazon for that. Some people blame Amazon for that, put it that way. But now they're setting up a YouTube website where you can upload your video and you will be paid royalties from Amazon. Isn't that something? Make a video, upload it to Amazon, and for all those people who click on and watch that video, you're going to get paid. Isn't that something? And I'm pretty sure a lot of people are on that right now, you know, making a video. All you got to do is, you know, the only thing you got to have is your phone, right? make a video on your phone, you know, and click, wow, it's up on YouTube, and you start making money. That's got to be super. I'm pretty sure it's a lot, may not be as easy as I'm stating it to be, but basically that's the gist of it. You know, that is the damn gist of it, you know, and that's a good thing. Royalties. Hey, yours truly might try that, you know, so that's, that's something to think about. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, WTTTY on Block Talk Radio. All righty, let's move right along. Let's see what we got here. All right. It says right here, do not blame Donald Trump. It is the voters who voted and put him in. I want to expand on that a little bit. It's the voters who put Donald Trump in. It's the voters. You can't. I mean, you got Republicans, the Republican establishment, trying to stop Donald Trump. If you try to stop Donald Trump, you're stopping the people who voted him in office. These people act as if Donald Trump did this all by himself. Donald Trump had voters. People voted him in. People gave him this, you know, and for the Republicans to try to fight him and stop him and turn him around, that's crazy. This is a democracy. I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but I do know democracy when I see it. You know, I mean, there are some other people who are saying the same thing. It's the voters that put him where he is. Even Donald Trump is surprised so how far he's made it. Nobody thought this guy was get it in the beginning. But voters put him through, put him over. And now the Republican establishment is trying to stop him, destroy him, belittle him, and knock him out of the race. How can you do that when the people voted? Just because you don't like the way the people voted, that doesn't give you to try to destroy him. You know, so it just reeps to me of disdain, you know. So, you know, they got to get their act together over there and realize that this was the democracy. The people spoke with Donald Trump. Leave it alone. Leave him alone. Give him the nomination. Stop fighting him. Believe me, I am not a supporter, but when people vote, do their duty. I mean, I think it's a great thing. All right, let's move right along. There's going to be another investigation on Prince. They think some kind of foul play has overtaken Prince. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, let's go to the phone to see my board is lit up. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're on the air.
Hello, George.
Hello. Yeah.
This is
Nicole.
This is Marilyn O'Malley.
Oh, Marilyn O'Malley. Welcome to the show.
Aren't I supposed to be talking to you today?
You're talking to me right. You're talking to me right now. Go right ahead. Give us a little bit of your bio.
Well, I am a hello, everybody. I am a intuitive author, podcast host, and I am a coach that works with highly sensitive and creative entrepreneurs and professionals who struggle with being themselves, you know, with having being able to stand out and shine about who they really are and be seen in a way that allows them to be powerful creators in the world. And so I work a lot with leaders and innovators and authors and artists so that they can put their stuff out in the world and allow themselves to have an impact. And I think I was going to talk to you today about perfectionism, how that I believe that's the number one self-sabotaging thing happening to a lot of people today, thinking that we've got a culture that believes that things need to be perfect, and it's almost, to me, it's spreading like diabetes.
That's a way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
All right, okay. So, give us an example how you would get. Basically, what you're saying, you're getting people to live the best lives that they can live, that they should live.
Yes, to be their best self.
Yeah.
And powerfully, because you know, basically, what happens is that a lot of us, how we are brought up, are really being programmed by our parents, our environment, religion, schools, and telling us how we should be, rather than allowing us to be our authentic self. So we get a lot of training and a lot of things that conditioning that happens. You know, be this way, show up this way. You know, somebody's very enthusiastic about their life, and you know, as a kid, a lot of times parents are saying, settle down, you know, I can't stand it, you're too loud, you know, you're too much for me, or, you know, they're creative, and the parents want them to be a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, something like that. It's like, no, this is how you have to be and how I want you to be, and schools test you on, you know, are constantly testing you on different subjects, but not necessarily in supporting you in moving into the areas of your great strengths and gifts that you come into this world with. So I have people that are all confused and get you know, that don't feel good about themselves because they're living this lie, but they don't know that they're living a lie. And so a lot of times people will come to me like, I'm stuck. I don't know what I want. I know what I don't want. I don't know how to get there. I don't know who I am. and so I'm like, okay.
Great. How do you deal with somebody who says, I don't know who I am?
Go
right ahead.
I said, I bet there's a lot of people in your audience who's listening that a lot of times if I said describe yourself, they're going to describe what they do versus that I'm a creative person who likes to express through dance or through music.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Sometimes I love to be intellectual and I love to be in the arts. It's just describing more of our characteristics of our personality rather than what we do. I love to love people, you know, and spread love. But if somebody asks, well, that's why when you say bio, I always get like, because it's like you're wanting to know my credentials or where I come from or my title, and I find that limiting. So, I do passion tests or I take them through a process of, you know, what gets you excited? Certain things about us, we change and grow. So one thing that we might have liked in our 20s that we accomplished that. Now we want something else in our 40s. You know, a lot of people in their 20s are going around. I work a lot with millennials. And so they're like going out discovering who they are. I think one of the things with the millennials is they're thinking they should get out of college and know what they want to do. And they should be, you know, making the money that somebody's been in, you know, doing that work for years. Instead of just going, okay, I'm going to go out and explore and see where do I want to live? What do I want to study? What's of interest now? Because people up to this point have been telling me what I have to do. So if I'm on my own and nobody's telling me what to do, what would I be naturally attracted to? If you walked into a bookstore, where would you go? What book section would be your first section you went to? Or what part of the magazine section? What are those things you loved to do when you were a kid? You know, that's where I'd start to take people.
Oh, you know, you talk about bookstores, and they're, if I can divert a little bit, you talk about bookstores. There aren't many bookstores, if any, around anymore. And, you know, there aren't. And that's sad. Even in my area.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we used to have bookstores up the kazoo, you know, walk in there, you know, browse and do. Now it's gone. And I blame Amazon. But you know what? Some of these department stores, you can go in a certain book department and you'll find books. And then these big box stores.
Right.
Let me say this. Okay. You go to this department, the book department, and there is nobody there. There's nobody looking at the books. There's nothing. You know, it's isolated.
Right.
You know,
right.
But you go in the toy department, that's where the people are. Go right ahead.
Right. Well, George, you were just talking about Trump and the voters voting Trump in. You know, it isn't the Trump thing. It's the people who are voting him. Well, it isn't Amazon. It's the people that were buying the books from Amazon versus going to their bookstore that put the
But Amazon has something to do with it. You can't really – Amazon has something to do with it. You can't really say Amazon has nothing to do with it. But if it wasn't for – if there was no Amazon –
that's innovation, right? That's innovation.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but it's both of – you know, it's both the things. I download things on my Kindle and then end up buying the book. You know, so I end up having both. But yeah, to find bookstores they're so great. But a lot of the millennials growing up have spent very little time in the bookstores, and they're the largest population. that's growing right now. So they're so used to doing things off of part of transitioning and learning how to do
it's technology and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, some of the classrooms in some of our schools, they don't even have textbooks anymore. If they want to read a book, they have to have a laptop to read a book on, you know. Some of the teachers are saying that saves money on buying, you know, paper books, hardback books.
Getting well educated here.
Yeah, yeah, books are going away.
In a new age.
Okay, some of the stuff that you do, have you incorporated any of your personal experiences in some of the things that you do for people?
Everything.
Okay.
Actually, being a coach for me, and that's, I think, I walk my talk, so I don't ask anybody to do what I haven't done already, and not as far as growing, not the exact same thing. But one of the things that I did is I left a 24-year marriage, and I was living on the East Coast. And I left it to be true and honest to myself that I wasn't going to, in this marriage after trying for a very long time, I was not going to be able to be me in the relationship. And so the scariest thing I ever did, and I walked away from the relationship and got a divorce and moved across the country after 24 years on the other side. I follow my intuition. My intuition is to where I wanted to go, and I used all the things that you know, all of the tools, coaching tools that I use with all my clients to get me through that, to guide me, to so that you know I could create the life, what I call living a turned-on life, which is, to me, is like, I think for those people that want it, right? So I think comfortable is boring. And because when we get comfortable, we're not really, they say you're either living and growing or you're dying. And that comfortable is like you're dying. You're just sort of waiting until the end of your time. I very much, so I help people live that turned on life. So, and that to me is that every day you're like horny for your life. You are excited. You wake up excited. What's going to happen today? How am I going to create? How am I going to serve? What's coming my way? So that's what I was like. I had gotten into this place where they're just in my relationship wasn't going to allow me to be me. And I was choosing to really stand out and shine and speak. What do I want to say? Embody and become who I really felt I could, but was being limited by my own thoughts and thinking. And, you know, that's definitely it. And they were I outgrew my relationship. And that's the best way that I can say it, because I got clear who I was, and my relationship, my partner could not hold who I really was. And a bright light, because he needed to be the bright light. Does that make sense to a lot of those of you who have some people in your life that they want you to lift them up, but they don't want you to be brighter than them?
Yeah, I've experienced that. I think we all have that. And, you know, you just have to kind of move on, I guess.
Well, some people choose to stay because they want the security and or what, you know, it's worth it. But if I'm to be coaching leaders and other, you know, entrepreneurs and innovators, you know, I've got to model that. And so,
yeah, exactly.
So I wanted a lot more than he did. you know, I wanted that turned on horny life that's giving me you know, the adventure and the experiences, and, you know, I wanted that ability to really create that big, juicy life. And part of that was about falling in love with me, who I was, as a brilliant, juicy mess. And so I was a perfectionist, and so I had to realize that my perfectionism, because I was trying to fit in to how I thought other people wanted me to be. And so they would love and like me and take care of me, and, you know, and I would be safe. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there.
I have a feeling that didn't work.
No. No, but and because I lost me in the process. And so in discovering that there was a lost part of me, this is what I help my clients do, is that there's this lost part of ourselves that if you think that, I like to say, you know, so if you think about your groin area and there's like, you think about a pilot light there and there's a fire burning in there. And that's what I call your life force energy, right? Your life force energy. And so when you are fully you, that life force energy is like encompassing you. You're like, I guess, you know, imagine that flame going all the way to the top of your head, you know, flowing out of your heart. You're glowing, you know, your energy is radiant, you're magnetizing, you're charismatic, you're turned on. But what happens when we start to live what other people want us to do, like doing what our mom and dad, you know, this is how we have to behave. We have to turn our light down because we're too much for other people, you know, and just how society and culture, whatever it is, you know, and then we start thinking we're not good enough, we're not worthy, we're not perfect enough. And so what happens is we start dampening that light in us, and it starts getting really dim and just sort of... And then we think our only energy that we have for life is what we get from other people then. So it's like when we make somebody else happy, when we make them look good, and if they are good enough to acknowledge and be grateful what you're doing, then you get a return on that. But if you don't, you know, a lot of people are doing things for people and they take it for granted. They don't get, you know, they feel like you're entitled to whatever it is that you're doing for them. And there's no energy exchange. You get drained and it's not serving you. Plus, you're not being your authentic self. And when you're your authentic self, then you start making choices and doing things in your life that feeds you. So now that fire, right, that comes up, that energy, now that goes in, that enthusiasm turns up, and you have all of this energy, your talents, your gifts, your juiciness, your messiness to share with the world, right? And then in return, you get lots of love and lots of energy and money or attention or whatever it is that you're desiring in your life comes back to you.
All right. How does it make you feel to help people like that? To help people who've gone through some of the experiences you get? It must be a great, exhilarating feeling when you help someone, when you turn around someone else's life.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. And, you know, there's nothing like helping people release their shame. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not perfect enough. And turning that around to somebody really owning who they are. My heart just, you know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Yeah. It turns me on. I'm turned on. I get full. So then I have more to have conversations with you and other people about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Marion?
Marilyn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Do you have a book? Are you a published author?
I have a part in a book, but I would say most of my publishing, I write a lot, is on my website, which is marilynomalley.com, that's MarilynOmalley.com. I have tons of blogs on there, and I also write for the Huffington Post. So
oh, you do?
So I have articles on there, yep. And I
oh,
also
I read that.
Have... Go ahead.
I read it all
that?
The time. Yeah,
oh, good.
Of course.
Yeah. And I have a YouTube subscription, so I have tons of stuff on YouTube. So if anybody's seen me, like there's on YouTube, there is a, I do a, for those of you who are perfectionists or have anxiety, but there's a tapping video for perfectionism. If that tends to, if you're feeling, it's one of the ways to know that you're a perfectionist is that you're always disappointed in yourself and you're always self-critical. So those two feelings will give you the clue that you are a perfectionist.
Wow.
And then also I have this, I have a podcast called Millennials and Money Cafe, where I interview millennials, because I think the millennials are here to really shift the world and shift the way
we do
things.
I do too. I agree.
Yeah. I think they're incredible. They're so far ahead of their time. And so I interview them. I interview the way different millennials are who are doing different things. And then I also interview people who can serve millennials and help them create some insight. So that's one of my podcasts. So I do a lot of different things of getting, helping as a support and writings. And
okay.
So it's not that I have something in a, in a book.
I mean, even if you're writing a blog, you're still an author, you know. It's your writing, so you're the author
Week,
of it.
Every week.
And we can find your...
I would tell that to anybody. To be successful, you do something over and over and over every week or every day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And we can find your podcast on YouTube?
iTunes.
The podcasts are
on iTunes under Millennials and Money Cafe.
I'm writing all of this down because I'm gonna be going and listening to some of them, you know. And of course. You've also a radio host, a talk show host.
Just I call that my podcast.
Some people think of it as two different things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't have a radio station. Not like
you ought to. I mean, you sound great. You sound good. I mean,
Thanks for the information.
I mean, you're a true professional. I mean, that's no doubt about that.
Yes.
The reason why I asked you, did you have your own talk show? Because I was wondering if I could, you know, come on your show sometime and talk about things.
Well, we're going to talk. Yeah. Definitely.
Of course.
Well, this is a collaborative. The world's turning into collaboration. We're working together to create things. So none of us are here to do it alone. So.
Of course, I
love any help you can give me, George. That would be, I love that crazy, loving, big energy of yours.
No problem about it. I believe you have my email address. Anything
I
you
do.
Need, anything you want, any help you need, if you should publish a book or at some time and you need a book review, I'm your guy.
Right.
And.
Yeah. See how this is so playful. This is how life should be. You know, I think we should go through our days like this. Like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? What do you need help with? How can I help you? All right, let's create that.
All right. Okay, no problem with that. Okay, you have a website that you can give out to people?
Yep, that's Marilyn O'Malley. So it's www.marilynomalley.com. And you can sign up for my newsletter. So I send out a weekly newsletter that has lots of information in it about how to live that turned on life.
Oh, wow.
Great.
Get from
where you are to where you want to go.
Where you
want to
be.
And if anybody wants and if anybody's having trouble with perfectionism or feeling safe shining your light, standing out and really growing into who you want to, who you're feeling called. Because a lot of people are feeling called now. George, were you called to do your radio?
I think I was. I think I was because, you know, I was looking around for something to do. I said, damn, what can I do? All of a sudden, oh, I want to be a radio talk show host. I mean, the way I started was people kept telling me, George, you have a nice voice. George, you have a nice voice. Then one day I decided to go. One day I decided to record myself, you know, because, you know, a lot of times I'm oblivious to this, you know, and I recorded myself. And said, oh, man, wow. I sound like somebody I probably wouldn't like. But I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of inspired me to do this. I mean, when I was first, the first few months on the air, I was nervous. I mean, I was just so nervous. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't anybody out there listening because I was just starting. And it takes, you know what? It takes time to build an audience. It takes months, years. You just don't build an audience right off the bat. You know, huge audience. You know, so it takes time. And I think I've done that so far. And I think the show is, I mean, it's 1,000 podcasts out there. And you have to kind of figure out how to get above all of that to be noticed and seen and heard. And I think I've done that. And I think I'm continuing to do that.
Yeah. So George, did you feel like your calling is to help people get information or to what was the radio?
Well, my cause is, like you said, to help people get information. And one of the logos of the station is that I created is I'm here to try to help to make the world a better place.
So that's your calling.
Mm-hmm.
So see, lots of people, I want to share with people, we're all being called to do something, and all of us have a gift that's inside of us. And sometimes we have this bugger feeling or people keep giving us information. And like you got, you know, people kept saying something about your voice, and that's sort of like, I don't know if you believe in God or source or the quantum field, whatever you want to call it, is sort of giving you these little pushes, these little sweeps to, like, pay attention to this. You're hearing it more than once. If you hear things more than once, and usually three times or more, and it keeps coming back, it's something to pay attention to. And
that calling
is a way for you to find out, like, that's that authentic part of you. You know, that's that authentic part in yourself. Like, I knew when I was a little girl, I'm like, you're going to do something big, but I'm this little shy girl who feels so weak and, you know, feels powerless that I'm going to become a coach and help people transform their life and stand out and become great leaders. You know, so but I didn't know what that was, but that was in my head, and I know other people felt, I'm to do something big, but I have no idea, and I don't feel like, and I want to tell any of your listeners, if you're listening, it is possible, and in fact, it's your calling. So like George or like me, start following that. It isn't like you're going to go bam and you're right there. You're lucky if you go bam and it's right there and you see it, but a lot of times there's steps to it. So
all right,
start following those steps.
All right, Marilyn O'Malley on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Marilyn, would you like to have a link to this show? Maybe you can put it on your blog and have your clients come by and listen to it on your blog. Would you like a link to the show?
I would love that. Of course.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, all right. I just threw it out there. All right. The show will be podcast in about an hour or two, and I should have it. I should get it to you by then. Thanks for being on the show. You were a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you, George, and you are too. And I'll be in touch later.
All right.
And thank you, audience, for listening.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to Marilyn O'Malley on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back, folks. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. If we can come up with some sort of a drum roll, maybe. Let's try a drum roll, a doorbell or something. Then a drum roll. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back. All righty.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right, the smart quiz question on the George Wilder Jr. Show, who signs bills into law? How do bills become law? That should be easy, folks. Yeah, making the world a better place. That's what this show is about, and that's what it tries to do. It's a talk of our times, and that's what it's all about, making the world a better place. At least I'm here to help make the world a better place. I can't do it all alone. But I do know that we can do it together if we put our might together and try to make the world a better place. Like I said before, I had on Flossie Lewis. She was a clip of Flossie Lewis yesterday on the show. She's 91 years old, and basically she's telling us if you can make it out. I'm going to play this to Glenn. It's only about 3 minutes or a little less. And here she is, Flossie Lewis, 91 years old, and talking about making the world a better place. For older people.
Getting old is a state of mind. Now, I'm 91. I'm badly crippled. But I still think I'm 15. Will this go viral?
We hope so.
There are several ways I keep myself stimulated. By dragging myself to Piedmont Avenue on my walker or in my wheelchair, and you should see me use my wheelchair, I write light verse for The Crest, which is our newspaper. And every month you can find a sly little bit of verse from Flossie Lewis. The other way I keep being stimulated is just watching politics. And if that isn't enough to drive you crazy, I don't know what is. You do struggle to keep yourself neat and clean and fashionable, and there's always the possibility that romance comes your way. Just liking someone is a treat, because part of being old is to get cranky. There's indigestion and your teeth fall out, and suddenly you need hearing aids. And you feel increasingly unattractive. And then somebody says, "How nice you look today, Mrs. Lewis." Or, "You're a real kick, Flossie." And you feel good about yourself. You pick yourself up and you say, "I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it because I have a reason to get through it." Really growing old is when you discover that you haven't a reason to get through it anymore, and that you'd like to go to sleep with a certain amount of dignity, accepting the fact that the body is going to go, but the personality doesn't have to go. And that thing which is the hardest to admit is that character doesn't have to go. I'm Flossie Lewis. This is my brief but spectacular take on growing old.
That was Flossie. Okay, all right. Flossie Lewis and her take on growing old. All right, a great lady. I hope she lives to be 191. That was super. That was totally super. And I want to thank my guest, Marilyn O'Malley. She was great. She was wonderful. If you caught that exchange, I hope you did. If not, if you podcast the show, it'll be there. You can listen to the show anytime you want. And I'm hope you're out there. I hope you're out there listening. I really do. I need you. 347-857-1762 is my number. But sit back and relax and just enjoy the show, folks. It's great. It's wonderful. We have, what time is it? 7:03 p.m. in Chicago. And it is gray and dull and dark as usual. Where is spring? people are saying now. They're saying, where is summer? Anyway, we have to move on and see what we... Okay, they're doing Black Flight. I've done this yesterday. I think I've done it yesterday, or was it last week? Black Americans, Black Flight from Chicago. African Americans leaving the state of Illinois. And with good... And as George, why do you stay? You know, I stay because I'm going to fight for where I live. I'm not going to run from it. And I don't think a lot of people should run, pack up and run. Oh, they done cut my food stamps. We got to go. I don't think people should just pack up and leave. If you believe in where you in something, stay and fight. If you like your neighborhood where it is, stay and fight. Get rid of the gangbangers and the thugs out of your neighborhood. That's the problem. The gangbangers and the thugs. You'll never get the guns off the street because they're too readily. They're too readily available, so you'll never get the guns off the street. There's too many gun shops selling guns, and people, majority of the people who are buying 10 guns legally, who are buying 10 guns legally at a gun shop, is going and, you know, distributing them out to the gangbangers. This has been found to be true. So I would say stop Black Flight. Do not leave your neighborhood. Do not leave Chicago. Do not leave the Illinois. Sure, we got problems, but we have to stay and fight. If you leave, then you're turning over your community to the bad guys. The bad guys say, oh, man, them people leave, and we don't want. We don't take it over here. Stay and fight for your neighborhood. That's what you want to do. Be a fighter. Don't run. But some people are. I mean, if they want to leave, go, you know. You can't stop them. But I've said many times, most of the people who are exiting the state of Illinois are the people who can afford to do it. The ones who can't afford to do it, they're going to wind up right here. And when people are leaving Illinois, they're taking their tax money with them. And the politicians ought to know this. You cannot tax the poor. You cannot tax the working poor. You will not get what you want. They don't have anything, so how in the hell can they pay taxes? And the people you are taxing, they're fed up and they're leaving. It's in the hell with you. You're not getting my tax money. I'm going to another state where the tax bracket is very, 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 very low. And plus, in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, the credit rating is in the gutter. You talk about you have bad credit. The state of Illinois has worse credit than you do. You know, we can't even, if the state of Illinois wants to borrow money, they're going to have to pay a high interest rate on that money, including the city of Chicago. Borrow, borrow, borrow. Yeah, you can borrow all the money you want, but you're going to have a hell of an interest rate paying that money back. So if I can get back to this Black Flight again, African-Americans dodging and leaving the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois to go back down south. I think it's a rotten deal. I think it's, especially if you're leaving, it's okay if you're going on a trip or a family reunion or something, but don't just pack up everything and just move, you know. And because you may leave Chicago and go to a state that is a lot worse. You may leave Chicago and go to a state that actually suppresses the vote, makes it harder for you to vote. So if you're going to leave, make sure you research the state that you're going to, especially the governor. Make sure you research it, because you don't want to be leaving Illinois and going to a state that's a lot worse than what Illinois is. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Yeah, this show is about making the world a better place. You know what I'm saying? All righty. It looks like Donald Trump about to pick a running mate. He should. I mean, he's on the Republican side of the aisle. He's the only one out there. You know, he is the only one left. There was 17 of them when they first started debating. There was 17. Now there's only one, and that one is Donald Trump. So he should And he will be the nominee. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be the nominee for the President of the United States. So therefore, there is more likely than all that he will, maybe by the end of the week or the end of next week, he's going to have a running mate. And my feeling is it could be Sarah Palin. It could be Chris Christie of New Jersey. You know, it sure in the hell is not going to be Carly Fiorina. Man, they can't stand each other. I mean, it's there. They can't stand each other. Well, Carly Fiorina, she's had her 15 minutes of glory. It's over with her. It is totally over with her. I think she's worse than Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin is funny. She's funny, but Carly Fiorina is just evil. She's evil. And Ted Cruz, who was just knocked out of the race by Donald Trump, he says he's not ready to endorse Trump yet. Of course he's not. Trump him. You know, I mean, Trump beat his ass, to put it mildly. You know, so he's not ready to back Trump. He may never back Trump, you know. But let's put it this way, folks. Let's be truthful. Nobody liked Ted Cruz. Nobody liked him. He knew it. So he can't really blame Donald Trump for anything. All right, it's 7:11 up Chicago time. We're going to do the smart quiz question. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All righty. This is the smart quiz questions. I make them up myself. Who signs bills into law? Who signs bills into law? We got another few minutes and I'll have that answer for you, folks. And we can't seem to pull up anything. The state of Illinois still doesn't have a budget. We still does not have a budget. We're going on into the 11th month. And I believe if we go a year without a budget, people should just get up off their asses and go down there and impeach this guy. People should get up off their butts and just throw this guy out. Because without a budget, without a spending plan, without paying its bills, the state paying its bills, you know, they're in default. This guy is not doing his job. He's running around blaming people again for this or that and this. But he cannot blame anyone for the state not having a budget because spending bills have been put on his desk time and time and time again. And as I speak, there's a bill being drawn up, a spending bill to be put on his desk. He's going to veto it. And he's going to give the excuse that they don't have the money. But however, if the state decides to take on his turnaround agenda, which is to weaken unions, tear unions apart, tear up workmen compensation, he will sign a bill the next moment. And this is all just smoke and mirrors, people. And a lot of people are fleeing Illinois because of that. And not just folks in general, but businesses. Businesses and vendors and people who cater to the services of Illinois, they're leaving. And the contracts, I would think there would be a lot of lawsuits because Illinois has defaulted on a lot of the contracts that they were supposed to deal with, you know. Breach of contract. I would think there's a lot of lawsuits over that. But just something we're not hearing, but obviously is going on because everybody who's anybody is suing the state. They're suing Bruce Rauner. You know, because the state, whenever somebody says the state this, the state that, they're talking about the governor of Illinois and they're talking about the state legislature. Unfortunately, these clowns are the lawmakers, and they were elected officials in office. So it's a mess, folks. We're still in limbo in Illinois. We're still in limbo in Chicago. The schools need money. I believe that they've crafted a spending bill to fund public schools in Chicago. Rauner is set to veto it. And that's a shame. He claims he cares so much about children. I agree with Jesse Jackson. I think some of this is just plain old racism. I do. I think this guy is a closet racist. Of course, he's going to deny it. Of course, those in his circle, they're going to deny it. But I think this guy is a closet racist. I mean, there are so many signs. He's taking money from the poor and giving to the rich. He's Robin Hood in reverse. He goes downstate to white high schools, to white elementary schools for photo ops. You never see him up in the city of Chicago or upstate taking photo ops around black kids, Hispanic kids, Asian kids. He's always downstate with his photo ops where they like him down there, but a lot of them don't, because what he's doing to Chicago, he is somewhat doing to them also. And a lot of the people who work for the state of Illinois up in Chicago, they live downstate. And a lot of these state workers would not be getting paid. They would not be getting their paycheck in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois if it wasn't for court orders. In other words, if it was up to Governor Bruce Rauner, they would not be getting paid. They would not have gotten their paychecks for the last 4 or 5 months. And his excuse would be, the state doesn't have the money. The reason why a lot of these agencies, a few of them, I shouldn't say a lot, because majority of the agencies have been shut down and closed because of the lack of funding. Money is not going in. And that includes colleges and universities, But there, the few programs that are being funded, they're being funded because of court orders, federal court orders, ordering the state to pay certain bills, But every time the state pay a bill, state goes into debt. If it's paying money out for something or other, which is barely, the state goes into debt. I think we're in $2 billion in debt, because every time someone gets a check from the state, even if you are an employee, the state goes into straight up debt. It goes into straight up debt. We are a mess. Yeah, I agree, and I've said this before. I totally agree. Before Rauner became the governor of Illinois, we were in financial trouble. Okay, I agree. Sometimes I think Madigan and Culloden are the culprits in some of these things themselves. And they're Democrats. And Rauner is a Republican. Yes, Rauner inherited some things. But there is no doubt about it. Governor Bruce Rauner has taken a state that was in financial trouble and made it a hell of a lot worse. There is nothing positive. Since this guy has been in the office, governor, there has been nothing positive that he's done. There's a lot negative that he's done, but there's been nothing whatsoever that's been positively done for the state of Illinois. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, 347-857-1762. It's 718 straight up Chicago time. We got about 12 more minutes into the show. I think we're going to play. I'm always talking about Bruce Rauner, but there are so many people. There are so many people who, I mean, have you, I don't think I've ever known as many people to protest a politician as much as Rauner is being protested. I mean, Rauner cannot walk to the damn bathroom without finding a group of people protesting him for not having a state budget. He can't go anywhere, and he doesn't want to talk to the press. He claims that he's a Q&A guy, question and answer. He claims that. But he's not. He doesn't talk to the press. He doesn't talk to the people. It's the only thing when he comes out of his shell and, you know, walks in front of a microphone to be on television. Basically, he talks about it's my way or the highway. It's my way or the highway. Do it my way or don't do it. And then he goes back into his shell. And then basically he blames people. Maybe some of his blame have some validation. Maybe some of it, not all of it. But no one, he can't blame anybody for the budget. He's the one who's stopping the budget. He's the one who's stopping the budget. What Rauner is trying to do, he's trying to get rid of every Democrat in the legislature and replace them with Republicans. That's why he's always coming out blasting Madigan and Cullerton, because he wants them replaced. He wants the whole damn General Assembly replaced so he can turn this state into a red state, a Republican state, and get what he wants. Then nobody's going to get anything. Where did this guy come from? Karen Lewis called him a ISIS recruit. That's a blow. Even I didn't agree with that, you know. But what Rauner is doing to the state of Illinois, you wonder if it doesn't have some sort of terrorist ties. You know, and as I've said yesterday and many times on the show, I think that what the guy doing is criminal. He's criminal. He's causing the deaths of people by cutting off some of these programs, cutting funding from the lifeline of some of these programs, you know, that's keeping a lot of these seniors and disabled people and mentally ill people alive. Because when the mental health centers close, that's been serving thousands of people, where do you think those people are going to go? They're going to come straight out on the streets, sitting in the gutter, sitting at the curb, sleeping in the park. Where do you think they're going to go? Some may even pick up a gun or a knife and commit a crime. So he's caused all kinds of chaos. And I want to say this again, folks. Rauner, he knew he was going to cause chaos before he even got into office. He knew he was going to take this state under. He knew what he was going to do. And his rich friends around him knew what he was going to do. And we all know what he's trying to do. He has to be stupid and crazy to think that we don't know that he's trying to turn this state from a blue state to a red state. And I don't believe that's going to happen. Rauner, like President Obama, has 2 terms in office. If he thinks about running again, he should rethink that, because he is not going to get it. If he makes it to the end of his first term and wants to run for a second term, he can forget it. I mean, his poll numbers are in the 20s, if not lower. He can forget it. You know, because he claims he has stated that nobody was going to like it. And he's right about that. And you cannot get anywhere when people don't like you. You know, you got to get on the good side of people. And Rauner has gotten on the bad side of a lot of people. And that's why if he tries to run again, he's going to have about 4 or 5 opponents running against him for the job, because they will know right off the bat that he's not liked, he's not welcomed, and he is destroying the state. So he would be better off not running again. And that's if he can make it to the end of his first term. So I would say to the people of Illinois, hang in there. This guy, he's out of there. Either he's going to be out of there before his first term ends, or he will not be elected. And that's something that I know of to be a promise. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we've been talking about a lot of things, folks. And I want to say thank you to my guest, Marilyn O'Malley. Hopefully she'll be back on the show at some point. All right, we've got 7:24 p.m. straight up Chicago time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We have just about how many minutes in the show? We have someone going to be in my ear saying that 90 minutes left, you know. So, yeah, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Folks, follow me. Listen to me. Listen only to me. You miss a show here, you will miss a hell of a lot. Someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds, George, 90 minutes. So we have about a minute or so to go into the show. And I wanted to say one more thing about Rana before we leave. And that is Rana supposedly is not endorsing Donald Trump for presidency. I want to say, who the hell cares who Donald Trump supports? Who in the hell cares who this guy supports, Bruce Rauner supports? Who cares who he supports? His support is not going to make me vote or not vote against anybody, because I don't give a damn about his support. It's who I think is better to to run this country. I don't give a damn about Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner hasn't got a budget. So the hell with him. All right, folks. I hope you join me tomorrow. It's been fun. It's been great. Bye-bye. Did I fuck up? I don't think so.